how? Just tell us. I want to know how.
But that, you know how stopping it? By challenging the system and talking to my people and letting them know that they cannot continue living in ignorance and be successful. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to spend all your money with minority people and your children growing up and want husbands and wives, and you say you're buying from your own, and then your own children move from property to property, because if you don't support your own to generate wealth amongst the race, your children will join and continue to be in a poor race. And I tell you something quick here that can shock you. I went last week to measure some work for a lady. And she has a granddaughter. The daughter could be about maybe 5 years. I know, so around that age. The child has two dollies, and she has a little pram. I tell you what I see last week. This and that the body tell me about. She has the little white dolly inside the pram sitting down. And she has the little black dolly tied to the wheel of the pram and pushing the pram with the little black dolly dragging through the dirt and the grass. And I stop her. I said, girl, you know, I tell the grandma, you know what you're doing here? You laying this child put a white dolly inside the seat. And this is in Barbados. This isn't in Africa, or this is in England, or this is Barbados. And she got a little black one driving for him. Grandma, why both in the seat? People in Barbados start to share some of the wealth that they have and they generate from the poor people in this country to uplift this community. We can have.
But you know that, but that has started already. There are some white businesses that have more or less included black people, workers, in terms of buying shares in their companies. So I can't say that it doesn't happen. I guess I have a different approach. Instead of buying from people that look like me, I would welcome, I think that we need to be fair. If some person of color, has a better product than some person who's white, then and more reasonable, then you do that. If a person who's white has a better product and is more reasonable, then you buy that. Because I think right now
it can't work so. Because the Indians don't do that and the white people don't do that. You go around place, you don't see no white people, nobody black store shopping. You don't see no Indian shopping in nobody's store. How come black people be shopping in everybody's store except the one? I mean, let me be serious, Miss Hill. I'm just not doing this light for no people, you know. There's something saying that we have to make sure that we equal, that we bring some balance to the races in the country, so we have a good and happy and
NASA,
peaceful
society. Because I know we got to wrap up. I will say this. We came a long way. We may not be in chains, but there's still some mental slavery going on. I understand that. There's still not a level playing field for many things, not just color, even for women still, even for persons with disabilities, the elderly. It's a fight and it's a continuous fight. It's not just about color. Because sometimes you can say a black man will get a chance because of who he knows and what he owns. Because then that's a different type of unlevel playing field that we're dealing with too. We can always look at that. But I just think moving forward, we've come a long way. I think it's going to be a continuous journey. I don't think there's going to be some destination and that's it, you know. Kumbaya, we all sing and hug each other around a campfire that we've overcome. I just think that they're going to be hurdles and one after the next. We just have to keep getting over them until, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, but no perfection will come until that day comes when I believe that God decides that that's it, you know. That's just my take. But thanks for that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Missy. How are you doing?
I am well. And you?
I'm fine. This is the first time that I've spoken to you on the program.
Well, thank you for coming.
Before I do what I made me feel a note to speak about, I want to just run something that I just got from the postman just while waiting. And it says, my name and blah, blah, blah. And the letter was dated December 31st. Today is January 25th?
It's the 24th, yes.
Today's 24th.
Yes.
So we're talking about 24 days for a letter to move from Barbados. And it came from Barbados, Water, Turkey. But it's a very nice letter. It says, during the process, the act spoke about the message. During the process of the invoicing for December 29th, we encountered a problem, blah, blah, blah. So there was not a bill, right? And if we're not fair to say your invoice for January 2020 will cover the consumption of the 2 months, we wish to assure you that you will not be disadvantaged in any way since the length of time, blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to go and read in all of it. Right?
I heard about those letters. It was some glitch or something they said in the computer.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But it's a nice letter. No, it took 24 days to get to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But that's not a problem. And I just want to show you how people make things a burden in their life. Mm-hmm. Not knowing this, but I know it's usually people water. I paid the bill yesterday. Mm-hmm. I see in this note. I hardly look at bills anyhow. I know that what people, because it's used a thing, and they go and pay the bill.
Fair enough.
But sometimes we hear people talking about they ain't getting the bill. And why I bring this in, which was not a part of my, I said that sometimes we as people, we make things an issue that really ought not to be an issue. Whether the water authority later or anybody send me a bill, if I had a service or a product from them, and I know there was an arrangement, whether they bill me or not, the same way I made the strength, the earned extra to get it, I should also make that effort to repay the people. Mm-hmm. But I just use that little scenario to show how we focus on things. Sometimes we look at things different. Another fellow now will come and make a problem. Now, the few things that I want to discuss with you this morning, right? First, let me say that to my mind, and as an avid listener, and sometimes contributor to Brass Tack, my interpretation of the great majority of the persons who call Brass Tack consistently have a political affiliation and a political agenda, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe we need to be fair to ourselves and to our country. I went to the hospital last night, just probably, and I would thank God for my mercies. I got it just after that.
Listen, one second, because this story that you're about to tell me is one I really want to hear. But we do have to take a break because we have to break for the regional roundup. And I'm hoping that when I come back, that you're still on the line, okay? We'll be back. Welcome back. Caller, are you still there?
Yes, please, I'm still here.
Yes, sir, continue.
Okay. Right, so I did my little part with the water bill scenario. Mm-hmm. And I said last night also that I went to the hospital just around the time that that accident took place. I heard you said that you were curious to find out about it. Well, I missed it by a few minutes. But I am thankful because they had a lot of cars parked in the hospital, you know, and they had to park like close down to the old MOs on the sidewalk.
Sorry, what did I refer to that I was curious about?
You were said that you were curious about the accident. I think when they had said something when they was coming to the hospital. But I said I went to, well, if that's the case, let me bypass that.
Okay.
Bypass that. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyhow, I went to the hospital just after that accident to look for a friend. And I went on A1. But you know, we had some recent rain. Mm-hmm. Outside of A1 was about, I don't want to tell you anything, about 4 sheets on the ground. And the tile ceiling was out, which meaning that from water damage and stuff, they were not there, but obviously the roof was leaking. Right? Now, this coupled with all the other things that person said today are relevant to the state of our institution, our medical institutions. Now, I don't think this happened overnight, right? And I don't think anybody can blame any one administration, despite one would wonder what happened in the last administration. But I don't think one can blame any one administration for the state of how some of our government-owned structures are kept. Prior to going to the news, I said to you that I listen to the program a lot and that majority of the people who call have some strong, political affiliation. And you can't kill a fellow for that. But what annoys me is when people are not fair. And I want to go back a little to what Alvin said. Alvin was speaking about the work that he did back at the geriatric over 10 years ago. And that is correct. In terms of, because he know what he did. But this is my point. And it seems like he has some amount of work. Sometimes we as people, I think we are really selfish, right? Because we are quick to come and speak about things that we think that would give mileage to the cause that we serve. And I don't want to say this to Alvin as a person because I like to hear him actually. And I like the gusto he has for supporting his part. but I want to pull him away from his party. I assume he probably, my concern would be, right, but we as people, that we can say that we can take 5 cents and dedicate, because at this stage in time, based on how the country is economically, because we've frowned the woods, you know. We've frowned the woods. You need two things, saving and investment, right? So people might say, well, why not this thing happen and then why go and build a hotel and whatever else? We place a lot of emphasis in hotels because we figure that that can bring some money to us to help do some of these things. So sometimes we have to do things simultaneously. Sometimes one would get pushed based on the interest that we have serving. I think based on the situation we find ourselves in now, we need to think a lot about investment. And the situation at the hospital is very, very bad. We heard one of our regular callers, Mr. Foster, spoke about it 2 Fridays ago with Ellis. And it was tough. And I like to hear him because he really has a good command of the English language, one. And two, he always makes sense. And when he comes and gives information as it relates to the betterment of Barbados. He may be political. I heard him say it like morning, but you don't hear in the contribution that he, right? Mm-hmm. So I am saying that even a person who has a little ways and a little means, and Alvin doesn't seem hungry to me, that you can try to help. We as a people, I am willing to help. I know that the hospital is on that board. I believe it is easy that they can set up an account and people can walk in, get that number and give money so that we can help. Because it's bad. I have a friend that is a nurse. And she lives and breathes for that hospital. She goes in there. She goes on double shifts when they're short. They call her. She goes. She takes her money and buy things, right? And these are things that people don't know. I would really like to call her name for people to know. She probably might beat me for it. But I would just say she's Miss Garrington. And she works with the St. Ward. But if they call on her, she would do double shifts, whatever. Because she understands what is happening. They're short and stuff. And she has the love of her country. These are people, unsung heroes that we don't know about. We curse the institution for what's happening. But we as people over there, we use money in ways that we might go places and spend it that, I mean, for our excitement and stuff. But I want people to know that this is our country, right? And we need to protect it. The new garbage trucks, that if you see a fella driving them reckless, you're not squealer. Calling, make a note, because at the end of the day, we are the same people that are crying out for not getting a good garbage collection. It amazes me how a last bus that leaves the bus stand at 12:05, going to places like Martin's Bay and Bathsheba, right? And because they happen to be on the road around that time, 1:15 coming out station, could be coming back down the road. And I mean blazing, you know. And then we would say that these things are taken care of and people are careful. What I just tell you about those buses ain't anything that has happened one off. It happens every night. If you go by Eastman Corner stop like tonight, unless the change of who hear me, you will see that by 1:15, 1:05. I don't understand how you can get to that stage again all the way in the other part of Barbados and get back to the quick. And you going to tell me that you care for the equipment that we got to buy and you're careful for life? Nah. I don't see it that way. But I want to go on out because a lot of other things, and because of time, I'm going to just cut short. Mm-hmm. You remember White Oak?
Yes.
When the White Oak story came in, everybody thought it's too much money, $27 million. I came to the program, and this is what I said. I said the money seems a lot to me. But I need to trust the people that we as people put there now, right? So I would not want to speak on it. I said it sounds a lot to me. But what would interest me at the ending of the day, when it comes to beer, I need to find out what I got for this $27 million, U.S. Million dollars. Ms. Haig, I have seen what we have gained from it. I ain't hearing people complaining.
What have you seen?
The savings that we got in terms of the local debt from the restructuring which they manage, mm-hmm. and the foreign debt, right? We save a whole ton of money. So I'm saying that people were crying out, but no one came back and said, well, the government had it right, or the people who advised them had it right. And I say that to go back to the same building that you PR with and whatever, that people are crying. No, I do a little construction myself, and I refurbish a few buildings. And I want you to know that I could have built them buildings twice with the money that I spent refurbishing them. Right? Now, sometimes I don't believe that these people just do these things willy-nilly. They are advice, but we need to trust them. Just as the people who support the last government and this government would want to like support them. I can't support them in everything because I still believe that right now that I have a little failing grade for the current administration as it relates to transport and sanitation collection. But they would tell you that there was this reason and that. Sometimes we don't know what's happening again. But me as a citizen, I have quarrel with those two things. But I am happy to see that things are happening, right? I don't know why it took so long and blah, blah, although things were said and I believe things were settled to term. But at the end of the day, now that we have them and when we get them, we as people have to make sure that they are kept and they are kept well so that they would come, so they would be used for the good of all of us. So that for somebody to be coming asking a demand and a statement as to why this with that building and whatever else, those people would have checked, they would have given, and some of the people know better, you know. And I can go back to Glenn Murray, for example, who was in government and who understand these things, right? People have to stop getting personal when they're dealing with these issues for whatever acts they have to bring and deal with facts. I sat down day before on the bank holder and heard Mr. Murray talking about when he was in as a minister and the songs that were done for the each national heroes and that the radio station don't play that there was a CD. I called in and said to Mr. Braffett, I don't want to stay on the program, but I want him, and some person who co-hosts a show on VOB, I would not have him say about VOB. VOB plays those songs every time. You hear from Sarah Gilbert, Edwin, all those. And people make statements, you see, but if people don't follow and go and check, then when a fella come and say something, and it's not true, a fella might say, well, yeah, because it's going more, he say that. We need to stop misleading people. Mm-hmm. I like Mr. Nasser too. But you can make your point other than having to seem that you're attacking somebody else. Because I see white people and Indians in places and supporting black people. So in as much as there was an injustice done way back, the way we are heading now is as if we're trying to reverse it.
You'll be trying to put it, yeah.
And take for that. And the Bible says vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. You can't change it. You cannot. What you need to do, and your statement was beautiful. I can determine where I spend my money. I can determine what I do. Nobody, look, I feel I'm the best thing that ever come out to play because I believe in me. I don't have to wait for nobody to tell me that this is, I am good or anything like that. You have to first believe in yourself. I don't have no type of confidence.
Yep, the choice is
If you have yours. More money than me, if you have more money than me, it doesn't make you better than me.
But you know that it's unfortunate that we have some people in society generally who define you by your wealth as in things and not by your character.
That is entirely correct. Mm-hmm. And we need to get that mindset. Listen, I have some kids that have raised their children. Some people don't like their kids. And they, like anything else, young people want brand name and everything else. You know, whenever they come to me with brand name, what I tell them, I say, look, you mean? I can give you a decent bike or a decent phone or whatever. You see, when you talk about that brand name thing, it can't work. This is what you have to do. You got to sacrifice your lunch money or whatever, right? Make little sandwich and things and save money if you want to buy them. But I am not, and this is what I tell them, I am not going to give you something, get you accustomed to a taste and a diet that you might find yourself in a situation which you cannot afford. If I give you it, and when I'm not here to provide, or when you're on, when you can't get it, all we talk about morals, I tell them straight up. I said, you will do, although I don't train you to do wrong, you will do wrong things again because you have a care for it. And because that is one thing that
I think that's the right way. And if I may share a story, I think my first daughter.
I don't give them.
Let me just say this. When my daughter, 13 years old, my first daughter, and she went to a private school. And I remember, and she went to England to visit her dad. And she came back and she wanted to know, Mom, why we can't build a pool. And I said, well, you can. You can go outside in the backyard. You can dig a hole and you can wait for the rain to fall. In other words, we can't afford that. Even though you may have traveled and you've been to someone's house with a pool, that's their life. That's not ours. And you do have to teach them, you know, how to balance it. If you want a pool, then you go to school, you learn, and you work for the pool. But right now, you can't get it. I can't afford it. Still can't afford one. You know, so I find that we have to teach our children some values. Unfortunately, I see parents buying babies brand name gear and babies, and they're going to grow out of it in like 2 weeks, gold chains and so on and so forth. But I also think that that stems from when you don't have a lot and you finally get something, I think some people actually believe that it gives them some sort of value. And it's the wrong way of thinking, but I understand why poor people may feel that way, because from the time they get some money, they really just want to buy something and to feel good. So it's kind of one of those things where we are looking on the outside and we are judging, but we don't really walk their path to know what it feels like to not have and then to have, even though it don't last long. It's something for people in that category who are not well off. It's an accomplishment for them. And you can understand why they may feel that way sometimes.
Miss Haig, my last contribution for the day is this. I would like, seeing that we now have a board at the QEH, and based on what I witnessed last night and what you heard that happened at Warren's, what has happened at geriatric, that Miss Bynoe Sutherland set up an account that I'm willing to contribute. Right?
I think if you call the QEH, there are several accounts that you can contribute to, sir.
But this is what I'm saying. We get various numbers of currently sent numbers in the country. So I'm going to, if I go at 260,000, I'm well within there, right? And everybody would be able to pay, but some other people would be able to pay to meet them. So if each of us give $5, we got $1.3 million already, right? And that can do a lot for things in the hospital. We need to stop complaining, right? For whatever political reason or other way, and start to help. Start to understand that when a truck gets mashed up or when something goes wrong, you and it's only the poor people at the end of the day who be the season on.
Well, you're right, sir. We got to kind of wrap up now, but you are right. But I'll leave this with you. When you don't like somebody, no matter what they do, it will never be good enough. So when people are on these political divides, and if they don't like you, they just don't agree with anything at all, which is sad, because I said this before on this show, and it was when Barack Obama and it was John McCain, and someone was insulting Obama by saying he's a Muslim, he's this. And John McCain took the microphone and said, no, ma'am, don't say that. He's not all of these bad things you're saying. He's a human being. We just vary on policy. And if it is that people can stick to that, you may not agree with X or Y, but you don't have to get personal. And to me, from the time either this prime minister or the previous prime minister, depending on whatever side of the fence you on, nothing you do will ever be good enough. And I think is that in life, You do the right thing. Not always the right thing to. There's doing the right thing and doing what's right. In other words, some people follow the whole, wasn't black and white, but sometimes you just got to do the right thing, even if that means not following what is in black and white. You got to do the right thing. And we're hoping that our leaders exercise some good judgment, and the day that they don't, apologize and make it right. You know, it's not hard. It's just I find that, and I agree with you so much, and there's so many WhatsAppers here, I know, agreeing with you. They're on your side to say you're speaking the truth. And I share that with you. And we need to get on with it, man. This This country is too small, sir, for us to be so divided. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. It's 12:24. We're soon heading for the ladies.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
There are two questions, but before I ask those two questions, I would like to deal with the caller who spoke about the, you know, a confidence motion at the BOT being political. Now, apart from contributing, I also listen to Brass Tacks virtually every day. And all of his contributions to Brass Tacks are politically colored. He does not even know who is the president of the BOT. He says Shepherd, then it's Spencer. That's
correct, okay. Well, you made a mistake.
Not that he made a mistake. Okay. And I, too, I'm a former teacher, and I, too, am concerned about the BOT. Now, when I was in the BOT, it represented teachers in secondary and primary schools. And these days, the impression is being given that BSTU represents all the teachers in secondary schools. So I think the person who brought the no confidence motion has every reason for bringing that no confidence motion in the present administration. He also went on to praise the Minister of Education. But I don't know if anybody is taking note of the amount of teaching time that we have lost so far this school year. And the minister hasn't said anything about how she planned to reclaim this lost time.
In terms of teaching time because of environmental reasons and closures?
All types of reasons. First of all, schools, some schools open 2 weeks late at the beginning of this school year. And all the environmental issues and all the other issues, that is teaching time being lost. Mm-hmm. And not she hasn't come up with a plan yet to reclaim this teaching time.
How was the teaching time reclaimed over the years?
When you used to have classes and the Easter vacation and all other things the children used to get.
So you're saying that you're saying over the years that teaching time was reclaimed when schools were closed repeatedly, for example, for water outages, etc., environmental issues. Is it different now under this minister? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not, there's no plan about reclaiming the lost teaching time.
But
I haven't heard
the
minister come up with
prior,
any plan saying how she plans to reclaim the lost teaching time.
But what I'm asking is was there a plan that should have been continued, or was there ever a plan before this minister came in as Minister of Education?
Well, she is one who speaks about the last decade. Nothing was done in the last 10 years in Barbados.
Mm-hmm. So basically you're saying that
there was no plan there. If nothing was done in the last 10 years, there couldn't have been a plan there.
Right, that's all I'm asking. If there was a plan and that you're saying it should be continued.
But I know there were plans, and I know that people use initiatives, they use the initiative and so on to reclaim the lost teaching time.
But no, one minute you said there wasn't a plan. No, there was a plan. That's what I'm asking. Was there a plan?
There was a plan, but this administration was saying nothing was done in the last 10 years.
But I'm not asking you what they would say. I'm asking you if you know that there was a plan in place prior to Minister Bradshaw.
The minister and the union, they would come up with initiatives about how they were going to reclaim this time.
Because I can tell you for a fact, a lot of teaching time, welcome back. The time is now 12:46. We go up until 2 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I would like to, I hope Mr. Nasser is listening. I would like to commend him for everything he said. And if this program is going across the world, particularly England and USA, there will be millions and millions of people who would agree with him. And I'm sure they wouldn't agree with some of the responses he's got. Mr. Nasser made some good observations, and the word he didn't use was that R word, racism. Racism is very, very rife in Barbados. And I'll explain why. I was at George Feet a few years ago, and on a break from the lecture, we came out, and I was talking to a gentleman. I wouldn't mention his name, famous gentleman, high in politics, represented Barbados across the world. He said to me, we don't have racism in Barbados. What we have is a way of life, and we are happy with it. And some of the responses Mr. Nasser got was straight in line with what he thought. My last sentence, every African is black, but not every black man is an African. They're Chuck Ices, they're Uncle Toms. Nasser, I agree with you and keep on keeping on. Thanks for listening, ma'am.
Wait, you want to go quickly? I wanted to ask you a question, but are you still
okay,
there?
Okay,
no, I. What do you think about the fact, we talk about racism in terms of the divide of color, but what about the divide with, in terms of the classes, where you are black, but you have arrived, if you want to put it that way, you're well off, and then you are entertained by others who have money, regardless of color, and you dismiss those who don't have as much popularity and money that you do have. I think that's a bigger problem here, more so than color.
That's discrimination.
No, but I'm saying I see it as a bigger problem. What do you think, as opposed to...
Discrimination is a problem as well, but you don't mix discrimination with racism.
No, but that's what I'm asking you. You see more racism here or discrimination?
Parents discriminate against their own siblings because they like a son or daughter better than the other, so don't mix it, and I'm not going on that road. Mm-hmm. What we have here in Barbados is rampant racism, and we have a lot of people, blackbirds, trying to fly like doves, and they don't want to call it out because they're defending the jobs and the position and the salary, etc. We waited over we was treated badly over 400 years ago, and some of the rhetoric that I heard that went to Mr. Nasser is like, we got to wait another 400 years. There's nobody going to live 800 years. He's not Methuselah. Mm-hmm. We have to fight with what we want. And that's why a lot of people around the world agree with Robert Mugabe. I was in England when Wilson and all the other prime ministers promised this and promised that and didn't deliver. And he woke up one morning and said, no, tell me that. I'm taking my country back. And we in Barbados, I think we black people are about 95%. And Barbados is ruled by the other 5%. And we're not happy with that. Good day, ma'am.
Okay, have a good day too. Thank you very much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. My concern is in relation to the geriatric hospital, mm-hmm. right? If there are problems there, you mean they have people who are technical people, right? Why can't they do some volunteerism? Right, they went to the polyclinic, they were taught there, at least they can give back a little of their time. Money is not all to the game. They have to remember that they will get old too, right? It doesn't make sense crying down a situation, but you can try and do something to uplift your country. You can't depend on the politicians to do all, right, or the taxpayers. The taxpayers will try to do their best, right, by paying the taxes and stuff, and all money should be spent properly. My next thing is, if you have property management in the public sector, right? Where are the building supervisors? Why did they allow the best buildings to run to this state of disrepair? You want to tell me that the accountant can't get together with the head of the department and discuss the situation and say, well, look, we need to paint the building. We need to do some type of maintenance and stuff like that. Let's put something in the estimates for that. When it goes to Parliament, they either approve it or they don't approve it, right? And I believe that they would approve it. But my God, year after year, the same problem. And they let the building stay to state that eventually you got to push it down. If they do everything a little every year, they won't find themselves in this situation. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you from government to government. It's always been, maintenance has always been an issue, always been an issue. And no one so far has seemed to have gotten it right. We do have a ministry now. I'm not sure if it was named that before, Ministry of Transport and Works and Maintenance. And I'm still yet to find out if the maintenance in that title refers to the maintenance of all government buildings. And will we see then contractors and plumbers and painters and people who can power wash getting some work underneath that ministry to help maintain the government buildings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but you're right. It's not good enough to just destroy and build back. There are times where it's gone too far, where it has to be demolished, and the costs would exceed to renovate than to demolish it. So a decision then would have to be taken. But moving forward, if you're putting up new buildings, you must have a maintenance plan.
Yes. You have to look at your strategic plan, and you have to look at forecasting. It's reality that the National Insurance Building got to come down. It's true. Mm-hmm. But when you take the old people into consideration at the geriatric hospital, due to no fault of their own that they're there, mm-hmm. you have to prioritize. You have to say, well, look, let's see which is the most important thing and deal with it accordingly. You understand? You cannot let this be an example and say, listen, it's time that we take stock of our buildings. Make sure that the building supervisors do their work and the property managers and government do their work. You understand? The same way other people got to do their work, they should be made to do their work because they should be held responsible for it too. You understand? If your building supervisor, you just don't come to work, and that's it. You go around, you look at the building, and say, well, tell the accountant or whoever, listen, it's time that this building needs some painting or something want doing. Make sure you put X amount of money in the estimates and stuff like that. You don't have to go to Jesus College to realize that sort of thing. Or someone only going for the money, someone really doing the work. You need to do your work. This is our country, and we can't just let it run down like that. People overseas ain't going to want to hear about these situations. We are in the IMF hands, you understand? And it's not easy on families. We have too much social problems, crime, this thing, all sorts of problems we have in. And if you look at the ministers, some of them look real tired. And our prime minister cannot afford to find herself in that situation because she was stressed out and worn out and stuff like that. We have to do something about it as a general population. Get up on all hands. Look, they say you have to take two hands to clap. Get together and work as a body. Money is not all to the game.
But let me add in terms of what you said, helping, because even though maintenance is key, then there are some public facilities that the public themselves, they vandalize. And you know, they keep the public bathrooms dirty and they break up this and they break up that. Some people destroy the buses. And so it's not only about a government maintenance program, but one that spreads to the wider public in terms of telling them what their responsibilities would be to the public property. And maybe they should be held more accountable if you find that they destroy or you have cameras in certain places to see who's actually destroying, you know, all of these beautiful places. Of course, then you have workers in the building that should still operate in a way where the cleaners don't have to be picking up behind them all the time. So sometimes, obviously, that contributes to the building too being pulled down, and even the very workers destroy some of the things in the building and then expect somebody to fix it, but would go home and make sure that their bathroom is working and treat their own property with respect, but not the property in which they work in. So, you know, it's a two-way thing.
Yes, I know.
And the government has always so far, and I believe the previous administration too, but I think that there's communication. You can communicate something and it does not resonate with the public, and then you could come with the same thing but in a different way and the public understands. But this government, I find that they are communicating with the public. Can it be more in various ministries? Yes. But I think that they have shown that they will listen. And if enough Barbadians speak out about a particular thing, so far, we have seen the Prime Minister and her cabinet taking note and then making some announcements to make some adjustments to some of the decisions that have been made. Do we hear everybody arguing about, you know, they're rushing and so on and so forth? You hear that argument? Yes. Sometimes people will make errors, but the important thing is to know when you do and to do something about it. And I think that's a good thing, in my opinion, and that is without being political. Your closing words. I'll give you the last word, ma'am.
Well, that is all that I have to say, because as a citizen, I'm a bit concerned. And as a taxpayer, you know, you want to make sure that your money is being well spent and stuff like that. And some people in the population has to be blamed for keeping the bus stands in the sort of state that they keep them in. And they need to say, well, this is my money, and I have to take more care of it. The schools, et cetera. There are too many problems we have in this country.
May I ask you something? Are you a retired person, or you are still active in the workforce?
I would say I'm not in the workforce right now.
But you haven't reached retirement age?
No, I haven't reached retirement ages yet. But I'm not in the system anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But it is disgusting. I did my part, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a first aider as well. Mm-hmm. And I used to give voluntary service at the hospital, right? Because if it passed and I see anyone in distress, I would assist them. You understand? Because we have to be human beings. We have to look after one another. It's not easy out there, you know what I mean? Anyhow, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. It was actually a pleasure talking to you. And I share your sentiments too, that it's not only about government, it's about what we can do. One of the things I recognize, and I'm not saying I notice for sure, but sometimes you have people who come and say, this is what we should do. And when you ask them, so what have you done to play your part? Which, and you've just laid out what you've done.
Some people
will quarrel about the garbage being, you know, the place too nasty. And then you will see them throwing garbage outside of their car. Some people will complain about the water challenge, for example. And then they themselves waste a lot of water. In other words, there's some responsibility that you have to take. People talk about, and I don't really want to bring up the Little Rick's tune, but people up in arms about that song. My take is Little Rick and performers don't have a responsibility to raise your children. And you as a parent have to raise your children and teach them the right way, so that when those songs come, the children would know how to respond, to tune out. And even if you listen, it doesn't mean that you have to act in any way. So I wanted to get that out, because I support Rick a lot. He's changed over the years. Yes, he's 50 years old. And yes, he's had a rough time with the pushback. Not to carry it on a different road, but there are songs out there that I more worry about that would incite violence, because there's something called a crime of passion, whereas man meets woman cheats on man can't take a dun, and man decides he's going to do something, or vice versa. So when you hear the songs like Stealing Love on the Side, and If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right, in other words, you're having you're breaking the seventh commandment, if you want to put it that way. That those songs can actually lead to more violence than Rick's song, Really and Truly, where he's saying, look, If you can't support me, if you don't respect me, then you're going to have to shut down, or shut off, if you want to put it that way. Yes, he used expletives, but, you know, what really are expletives? When we bring it down, who invented them? I mean, if I say the word, suppose that was a curse word. In other words, suppose the word meaning armhole was supposed to mean something else. The point is that we look at these things and we say you shouldn't use that because it will incite violence. I listened to the song about 50 times. I haven't heard anything that would incite violence. What I heard is a bunch of expletives. And if you don't want your children to hear, you need to guide your children accordingly. The only thing I would say is that while you're explaining to your children, I would probably add in to say, before you tell someone that you're finished and you shut them out, I was hoping that you could work it out. And if you can't work it out, sometimes there are people that you just have to remove the negative energy out of your life. And that's the truth.
That's the truth. That's, you know, the truth. I would like to say, Colonel Boston, wear out, because I saw him on television and he looked really tired, right? He has a lot on his plate. You know, ain't easy dealing with health and all the different problems that he got in the city and stuff like that.
It's hard. I mean, of course, they chose to be public servants, and any politician who's going into it for the right reasons obviously will have a task on their hands. It's not easy, huh? And I mean, I remember working at an establishment, and that was only the agency was only water. And I can tell you, you know, it's stressful. So imagine a minister, even though they have an entire ministry, when people are calling you for different things and you have to respond and you want to get it right, it can be easy. And that's why I believe that the Prime Minister, when she says many hands make for light work, of course, I always chirp in and said, you know, productive hands, because we got a lot of idle hands too that we want to turn into productive hands. You know,
all the criminals that we got in this country need to get resolved. Pop the neck, man. I will go and pop off the neck and put them down Broad Street and things like that. Then people that go and interfere with people, little young girl children and stuff like
that. Well, you know,
that's
a totally different discussion. But I know how you feel. I know that it's only, we're not even up to 300,000 people as yet. The island is too small, number one, to be so divided. The island is too small for this level of crime. I think we can all agree that something needs to be done about it. And I said before that I believe that there are a series of things that need to be looked at. And it's about the imports, it's about what's on the ground, it's about education, and it's about the parents. And so it's not a one-fit solution, one-size-fits-all for the crime situation in our country. But you see, listening to you and then even me and the public listening to us right now, there's a lot to take in. But all I can say is one step at a time, one day at a time, one person at a time, because you can't do it all in one day. You know?
And the Attorney General got to do something about it, because next thing you know, these people, politicians can soon go walk with Joy Boat and armor carriers and stuff like that. If they don't nip it in the bud, pop the neck, man. Forget about this human rights thing and pop off to the heads and then they will behave themselves.
All right, ma'am. I want to thank you for your contribution. It's 4 minutes after one. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Miss Haig.
Good afternoon.
If that lady there only knew that you were against the death penalty, she would make that statement to you. You agree?
Say that again. My apologies.
If that lady there only knew that you are against the death penalty, she wouldn't have made that statement to you.
Who says that? I have never said if I was for or against the death penalty.
So okay. So let me apologize. So I'm going to ask
Please
you:
do.
Are you for or against the death penalty?
I would have to give it further thought.
You mean all this time, Michelle?
All this time, because I'm still, you know, because for me, it's, are you doing it as punishment? Or are you doing it as a deterrent?
So
we have to determine that. And of course, I'm not going to sit here and, because people go like, well, you know, if it's your family, of course, if you something happened to your family, God forbid, the first thing that comes to your mind is, you know.
Okay,
that,
I'm not going to waste your time, right?
No, I just said it depends. If it's a deterrent or is it a punishment, we can have that
discussion. I'm going to ask you to think about in the time you come out of brass tacks next, because you want that amount of time, is, you mean all these years or so now you don't know what it's for or what you of yourself have an opinion about?
No, it is not about what it is for. It is about your perception of what is the right thing.
Right, so I'm trying to say to you, you're an intelligent person, but no, you would have known.
And this intelligent person is telling you that it depends. And sometimes it can be used as a deterrent or it can be used as a punishment.
Okay, so let's say it's both. Why are you going to say no? Anyway, listen, left with that. Listen, what are you really calling about?
Mm-hmm.
I listened to you just now. Let me ask a question. You believe an elephant can tiptoe? You know what it's called tiptoeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's try its best not to make a song. You agree? Or to get from one point to the other without attracting attention. It's called tiptoeing around things, right?
Go on.
I'm going to ask you a question. I see you there trying to tiptoe just now. You're just saying everything with a little Rick.
So I was very clear on how I felt about that.
Listen to me. So I'm going to ask you a direct question for you to say or don't say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you support what Lil Rick do at this point in time with that song, knowing that who he is and where he came from, etc., everything you could put together? Do you agree or do you like or do you appreciate or do you accept, wherever you want to put it, what Lil Rick did at, with this song, yes or no?
Well, I can answer that with a question before I answer it.
You're tiptoeing again.
No, I'm not tiptoeing, because at the end of the day, you're asking me if I approve of it. Do I approve of this song? That's basically what it asked me. Do I approve of it? What I'm saying to you, I don't have a problem with an artist expressing him or herself, that it is not for the artist to babysit your children. And if it is that you want him to be this mentor or whatever, I don't think we should put Rihanna in that bracket. We shouldn't put Rick in that bracket. He's an artist. He has to express himself as he sees fit. The song has expletives in it, which means it cannot be played on the air. That's number one. Number two, you can't do it at a show that you're paying for, because the police will arrest you, because they can't use expletives at these shows. You're not supposed to. So then we're going on what you call the underground music, which means you're going to have to listen to that underground. If you don't want your child to listen to it, pay some attention to the things that your children listen to. Rick is not the only person that uses expletives in his songs. And I talk about rap artists who actually incite things like violence and how to use certain things and so on and so forth. All I heard in that song, were the expletives? Yes. Did I think it was going to incite my child to do something wrong? No, I didn't get that impression. If I felt that it could, I would be having the conversation with my child. And if you did the job that you're supposed to do with your child, by the time they reach 18, 19, 20, some values would be in there from the parent. So it didn't matter what they listen to, they don't act out. They know the difference then between what is just music and what is reality. What is a video game and what is real?
Jeez, is it my turn now? My turn.
You asked me a question. You can't.
I'm answering it. But you answered everything, you know.
Go ahead.
Listen to this carefully. Just bear with me, right? You see the thing that you call social media? You could teach your child from 5-3 years old the best things you want, put it however you want, put it over on blame parents, right? But let me tell you something. You have no control sometimes of your child seeing, knowing, going on social media. I don't even know where they go on sometimes. So all I'm trying to say to you...
Stick a pin. If you have a child in a house, the child bought the computer,